anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will this bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. Verse number 58 says, this is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. We have read a portion of God's word. May the church together say, Amen. Let us pray. Today, I want to speak to us on a simple topic from the reading which we just did. When we look at John chapter number 6, it's a whole lot of stuff that happened from verse 1 unto this point. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ would have put forth many of his miracles. He would have fed multitudes. He would have healed many sick. And it was still a struggle for some to follow Jesus. As a matter of fact, while they followed him, Jesus knew for himself, you are not following me because I am Lord, because I am Christ, because I am the Son of God. Jesus made it clear, some of you are following me because of the loaves and the fish. You see, many knew the miracles of Jesus to feed the hungry and to bring sight to the blind, to heal the sick and to raise the dead. But many discredited that he had the ability to draw men unto him and that they should follow him, and that if they follow him, they would not only have life in this world, but in the world to come. And today I want to ask a simple question. What will it take for you to follow Jesus? What will it take for you to follow Jesus? You see, when we talk about following Jesus, we're not talking about following just for a little time. We're talking about following Jesus for a lifetime. Brothers and sisters, friends, when one is baptized into Jesus Christ, we often ask the question, how long do you intend to follow Jesus? The usual and expected return answer in the presence of all or the witnesses around is, as long as I live. And this is a resounding answer that we all want to hear. We don't want anybody being baptized into Christ and say, I'll just follow him for a little while. As a matter of fact, we would pick that person up and baptize them a second time if they ever say that. And if we ask the question again and they repeat same or something too close to that, we may want to baptize them a third time because you have not yet understood what it is to follow Jesus. I'm saying to us today, following Jesus is not a short-term agreement. It's a full-time contract while we are still living on this earth. In following Jesus, the road also is going to be rough, brothers and sisters, and tough at times. One may not even know where to go, but the fact that Jesus Christ is leading the way, it is safe for us all to follow Jesus. I want to say to us today, the world know, understand, and practice following. I'm getting somewhere, church. The world know and understand and practice following. Social media platforms is a big screen for everyone. Everywhere is locked onto it. And believe it or not, some following is happening. Somebody is following somebody else or something. So we know what it is to follow. There's no longer a need to meet friends and relatives face to face. All we have to do is use the World Wide Web and follow. We know their daily routine. We know what they ate this morning. We know what they wear. We know where they're going because we're following so closely. I want to ask the question, how much interest do we put into following Jesus Christ? What will it take for you to follow Jesus? So when we get down in the book of St. John, chapter number 6, Jesus Christ is issuing a following technique here that is not so common to many. As a matter of fact, one that they would refute. Because while they know about following him for fish and bread and all the miracles that Jesus Christ would have done for them, it was a strange thing for them to be following Jesus because he is the bread of life. It was a strange thing for them to want to follow him because his flesh is the bread and his blood is the drink. But I want us to know, unless we follow Jesus, we ain't going nowhere. We are walking around in circles and we will not get anywhere unless we follow Jesus. The Bible says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Did you miss that? Jesus introduced himself as the bread which all mankind should be craving after. The bread that all mankind should be taking a bite of. Not the chicken, not the fish, not the oxtail, you name it, not the sprat, not the lobster, not the conch and all these things, not the medium rare steak. But Jesus is just introducing himself as bread. Now let me see the hands of those who love bread. You love your bread. Don't tell a lie. You love your bread. Put up your hand if you love bread. You love bread. Let me see those who love the good hard dough bread. And if you don't get a good slice of hard dough with some chocolate tea, you're not saying nothing for breakfast. Let me see the hands of those who really don't love bread. Bread is kind of second nature. Lie. 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 And you know how I know that? Because every time you go to the supermarket, you check that bread pan before you leave to ensure that a bread stays in the house. You know why, church? A bread is a lifesaver, you know. A bread is a lifesaver on a natural, normal basis. When you're hungry and you can't find anything, somebody like Brother Fabian, he's going to walk to the bread pan. He's going to pick up a slice of bread. He's going to look for some jam. He's going to walk and put that onto that bread. We don't even need to have toast bread. We just need to have bread. And as long as we have a slice of bread, we can stop a gap until we get our rightful food, right? Yes. What Jesus Christ is saying here, church, Jesus says, I'm not just a bread that was baked on stones. As a matter of fact, I was not made and popped out of the oven. You didn't need me like a dough, but you will need me as a dough. Jesus Christ says, I am the living bread. I came down from heaven, meaning I'm a unique and a special bread. And you need to eat of me as if you ate of no other bread. So if Jesus Christ is the bread of life, why doesn't he have more followership? Why aren't men lining up to take a bite of Jesus? Jesus says, if anyone eats of this bread who is me, he says, he will live forever. Hey, Sister Mavis, old age don't matter. Because guess what? You don't feel like you are missing out because you're getting old. You feel like you're getting closer to foreverness with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, if you eat of me, you will live forever. And he says, this bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Hello? Doesn't John 3:16 tell us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten bread? Hello? Didn't he say he came down from heaven? And don't tell me that I'm misquoting the scripture here, because all I'm doing is substituting the only begotten Son for the only bread that can give us life eternal. It's the same bread. It's the same person. It's the same Son of God. Brothers and sisters, friends, we need to be following Jesus to fill our appetites up on this bread that will give us life. Now, I want to give us just 2 points, and I think I'll be closing after that. Listen, what will it take for you to follow Jesus? For some persons, it's a simple invitation. Hello? A simple invitation. Do you remember when Jesus Christ came down from the mountain? Right in the beginning of his ministry? On the Sea of Galilee, or by the Sea of Galilee? And he walked and he saw a couple of young men sitting in their father's boat. And what he did, he saw two first and he says, come follow me. I will make you fishers of men. The Bible says those two brothers, they got up. We didn't see an explanation. Daddy, I think we are charting a new career. Daddy, I believe your business is not as viable anymore. Daddy, we believe the stake is higher over on this side. Daddy, we've been here, but all we're toiling for is for you and mama. We don't see anything for ourselves yet. We didn't see any negotiation in terms of leaving what they had to follow Jesus. You know why? These men were smart. They were smart. They saw Jesus. They heard about Jesus. Jesus now issued an invitation to come and follow me, and that was sufficient for them. They took it like hot bread, and they went after Jesus Christ. Going just down the road, there were two other brothers, James and his brother John. And the Bible says he called them the same way. He said, come, follow me. And before long, those two men, they left their nets, they left their father's business, they pack up shop, and they move on to following Jesus Christ. You know why? They were smart, and they knew what a good invitation was. They knew what a good invitation was. As a matter of fact, that one was personalized. It was not written, but it was in verbal and direct form. And so when Jesus said, come, follow me, they knew something was different. They knew something was special, and they wanted to join the followership of Jesus Christ. And so they went and they followed Jesus. It was not long after Jesus had a dedicated following of unattached, unnumbered amount, referred to only as multitudes, whom Jesus healed from sickness and diseases, fed from hunger, and starvation, cleansed from devils and demons. And we see that wrapped up in Luke chapter number 4 and verses 18 and 19, as it tells us what the purpose of Jesus was. He came to give sight to the blind, to heal the sick, and to raise the dead. He came to do all of that. Men saw that, but still yet, his followership was as small. Church, as a matter of fact, when Jesus narrowed down his followership, and we have that now in our text, he was limited to 12 plus. Let's begin at 12 plus. When he limited, when he put the mandate out there and said to his audience, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you do not have life. The Bible will tell us that many left and stopped following him. But who were there with him? The dedicated few. Beginning at 12, those whom he called, those who voluntarily took up their cross and follow him. Those who knew the bread of life when they saw the bread of life. Those who were hunger and thirsting after righteousness. Those were the ones who stick around to following Jesus. What are you up against in going or staying? The question I want to ask. What will it take for you to follow Jesus? But before we get there, let's look at a few more verses. Verse 52, then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Yeah, we ain't cannibals around here. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink the blood of the Son of Man, you have no life in you. No, he wasn't talking to dead people, but he was talking to some spiritually dead people. Hello? He was not talking to people, carcasses and mummies and whatever remains that were left. He was talking to the whole man, but if we realize, a whole piece of the man was missing right here, because they didn't understand what Jesus was saying. Or let me also say, they failed to understand what he was saying. Because you know what? It's the same message that we're understanding today. It's the same message. Jesus has not changed that message. So the Bible tells us, Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink the blood of the flesh of the Son of Man, you have no life in you. And then Jesus clarifies. He says, whoever. Meaning, the bread of Jesus, and the bread that Jesus is, and the bread that Jesus presents, if I eat, I'll have life. If you eat, you will have life. If you eat, you will have life. But not only just life, church, we will have eternal life. Imagine that. We will all have eternal life. So what then is preventing some from eating and constantly eating of Jesus, who is the bread of life? Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, he says, and I will raise him up at the last day. Is Bob Marley sing the song? Everybody want to go to what? Heaven. And nobody wants to die. Is Bob Marley? I know so good and sung, but I know somebody sing it somewhere there. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. You see, the truth is, when we eat of Jesus' flesh and drink of his blood, even if we depart before his return, we also shall be what? Raised up. If we stick around long enough for his return, while we are alive, we will also be raised up. And Paul talked about that in the book of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. He talked about those who, don't worry about those who die. Don't worry about those who are gone on before. Because guess what? When the time comes for all of us to be caught up, everybody will be caught up to meet the Lord. We don't have to worry about sickness when we are eating the bread of life. Because all we need, church, is more life. More life. And this is why we do all our exercises and dieting. But Paul says, bodily exercises profits what? Little, but godliness is profitable for all. And with great gain. Great, great gain. What we need to do is to start on the right diet. Just start on the right diet, and we will be well on our way. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will what? Raise him up. For my flesh is... Hello? Are you reading? Are you in your Bibles? What did Jesus say his flesh is what? I'm reading from the NIV. Jesus says, for my flesh is real food. Hello? Non-GMO, none of them fake business and preservative, not in Jesus' food. Not in the loaf that Jesus present. Everything is organic. It's healthy. And so it doesn't matter. Don't tell yourself, oh, he's not whole wheat. Oh, he's not brown bread. Oh, he's not this and he's not that. All you need to do is to eat of Jesus. Just eat of him, because he is the right food. Somebody want to contradict me and say, but Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. But guess what is added here? The bread of life. Hello? You don't have to live by bread alone. But I also want to say, if you're eating just of the bread of Jesus Christ, you don't matter. You can eat him all alone, because he is the life that you need. Church, what will it take for you to follow Jesus? For some, they reject the invitation. And some brothers and sisters will wait long enough until there is an invasion. Hello? They reject the invitation, but wait until there is an invasion. And even upon an invasion, then they will still reject Jesus. You see, some persons, they live all the life that God says, I call upon you, young man, because you are what? Strong. No, that young man is generic. It doesn't apply to gender. Young man is young person, younger persons. While you are able, God wants to use you for his glory. But some are gonna wait until life struggles step in, having too much to deal with at any one time. Some are gonna wait until life takes them to another level. Let us not even begin to talk about the invasion of sickness and chronic diseases, the invasion of constant hospitalization, the invasion of staying at home stricken sick and can't make it out to serve your God. Let us not talk about some deeply rooted sinful practices that the devil has imposed upon you. Let us not talk about all those things. Because even when those things are happening for many, they are still rejecting the invitation. So not even an invasion can get some. But can I tell you, some choose to be wise even at that time and follow Jesus while life remains in the body. Too many times, church, the gospel of Christ and his personal invitation is taken for granted, because life today for some resembles that of yesterday, but forgot that they know not what tomorrow holds. Hello? Yesterday for some was merrymaking. Everybody jumping up and having a good time. If I should ask even right here today, who had a good time yesterday into last night before you get here this morning? I'm sure I could see a show of hands. Maybe you could see my hands too. But hello, do we just bask on what yesterday holds while we step into today, not even knowing what the next minute holds? But then we're gonna make plan for tomorrow as if we control tomorrow, and still spurning the invitation of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who says, come to me all who have labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Are we still gonna spurn the invitation of Jesus, who says, come and eat of my flesh and be filled, not only for this current and present time, but you will be filled for eternity? Church, what will it take for you to follow Jesus? I remember in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 38, the narrative is there with King Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah, yes, he was serving as God's king, and he was leading a good life. Let's call him a good life man. But then Hezekiah take things for what? For granted. And Hezekiah start doing foolishness, like some of us do, or all of us do at times. And God had to send him a stern warning to say, Hezekiah, you don't have the time that you think you have. Time is less than what you think you have. And I require certain things of you. Bible says when Hezekiah was told what God required of him, he turned his face where? To the wall. He turned his face to the wall. He prayed and he cried. He prayed. Sometimes, church, when the rubber hits the road, that's even the time when we remember to pray, to call on God, and to have a serious one-on-one. Say, God, what is my purpose? What is it that you have me here to do? Lord, your will and your way only. You see, church, if our bodies are not invaded at times and rocked with sickness and troubles, we too forget to call upon Almighty God. But you see, all of this, church, all that God is trying to do is to get us to follow Jesus, because he is the bread of heaven. He is the bread from heaven. He is the bread of life. And every one of us, whosoever will, may come. Whosoever will, may eat. Whosoever will be filled, if you just partake of Jesus. I'm getting down to a close, Brother Myrie. I think my time is up. Did you say 50, 60 minutes? I don't remember, but I think I'm close to my end. For my flesh is real food, Jesus said, and my blood is real drink. Sister Mavis, I know you eat real food. I know you cook real food. What can I tell you? Our fake food them there. Can I tell you? Them food they not get you very far. They will get you to a place, you know. They're going to get you to a place. And you will feel healthy in your body. Sister Mavis is one who talks well about her health, you know, because she eat good food. See how them bread me I preach about, you know? Sister Mavis, I got to debunk that. Boom. No bread, no good. Yeah, me no eat them kind of bread. But I'm saying, Sister Mavis knows what it is, and others, to eat good food, to be on a good diet. But can I tell you, based on what Jesus said right here, he said his flesh is real food and his blood is real drink. What was Jesus Christ trying to say to them? He was saying you could eat to life. If you're not eating of me, you ain't eating anything real. You could drink yourself to life. Water is life, they say. Drink of Jesus Christ, because that is when you're gonna have real life. So whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Jesus, just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father, so that one who feeds on me will live because of me. Why was Jesus living? Jesus was living because he was feasting upon nothing else but his Father. His Father's word he was feasting on. And so he knew what it is to remain what? Attached to the source. Stay connected to the source. Church, what will it take for you to follow Jesus? All I want to say to you this morning, connect to him. Just connect. We talk about the World Wide Web. Everybody know what that is. And how you get on there, how you know about your people, them will live yonder. How you know about them? Telegram no work again. The world is too fast paced for Telegram. So that doesn't work. A bearer service doesn't work. And so we go, pling, who can take up the phone and call somebody now and they answer the first call? Hey, and them overseas, who can do it? I know I don't have the rule, no answer on the phone in church. And I talk to nobody on the phone in church. But I'm just asking a question. I know I'm just asking a question. Who can take up their phone right now and make one call? And somebody's going to answer because it is you calling, Brother Myrie. Even if they didn't want to answer, they're going to answer because Myrie come up on the phone. And they know that if Myrie is calling at this time, this call is worth what? Taking. You know how they can know that? You're connected. You are connected to source. First of all, you're connected to the World Wide Web that lags you on to them over there. You're also connected by relationship, and that keeps the connection going. So whether it is midnight or early morning, midday, afternoon, whenever you're calling, your call is going to be answered. Brothers and sisters, this is the connection we have with Jesus Christ. This is the connection we have with Jesus Christ, and this is how Jesus Christ connects us to his Father. He says, just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So the one who feeds on me will live because of me. Do you see the connection? So in order to follow Jesus, just make the connection. Jesus said, this is the bread that came down from heaven. Your fathers ate, and they die. So, Sister Mavis, the manna, doesn't matter how good it is, not going to last forever. It is only for a time. And so you need to switch the diet, and you need to now connect to the source, Jesus. He said this while teaching in the synagogue. And brothers and sisters, this brings the greatest upstart. The greatest upstart. You see, truth from God's word will hurt. But Jesus Christ says, sanctify them through thy truth, because thy word is truth. And all we need is the truth of God to work for us. All we need is to hear the truth of God, believe the truth of God, live the truth of God. And so when Jesus Christ shall come, when he shall return, we shall all go with him. But I want to get down to the question where, in verse number 60, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Hey, this is hard. We have never eaten anybody's flesh. We don't grow up doing that. So how is it now that we're going to start eating a man's flesh? Hey, we don't drink blood. That's an abomination. We're not supposed to be drinking. So how is it that he's introducing his own blood? Not even saying some beetroot and carrot? Eh? Not even that? Or some milk? No, not even that? Or some grape juice? Some. But church, do you realize when we come to worship on a Sunday morning, do you realize the practice that we take on? Because of what Jesus said, we should eat of his what? His body, his flesh, and we should drink of his blood. Do you realize the significance of the Lord's Supper when we partake of it? That this is what keeps us connected to Jesus. This is what keeps us connected to God the Father. And this is what will keep our connection going until Jesus Christ shall return to call us home and take us home to eternity. So we have to stay connected. We can't lose connection. We can't depend on digital, sorry. We can't depend on Lime, sorry again. We can't depend on the other networks because their connection, even when you're in the best of a business meeting, their connection is going to fail you. When you're in the best of a critical call, their connection is going to fail you. But brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ will never fail. His connection is a legitimate connection to source. And if you're connected to Jesus Christ, you're well on your way to eternal life. And church, finally, you have to choose how to make these decisions.
about following Jesus. Jesus Christ says you should count the cost. Didn't he say that? Yes, he said, no man put his shoulder to the plow without counting the cost. If you're going into the building construction business, you're going to count up the cost. Check out the hardware man. Find out what is necessary. And you're going to do that. If you're even getting married, check out the picture man. Make him know what's going on. So he can tell you what the package entails. You don't just get into something without knowing and then be hit by what? Surprise later on. Jesus Christ said, count the cost. It is good for us to think about the plan of salvation in order to connect to Jesus. It's good for us to think about God and his eternal plan for man, and so we can connect to Jesus. The Bible says many choose not to follow him, but Jesus Christ had a question. Yet there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless my Father has enabled him. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. And Jesus Christ says, you do not want to leave me too? I'm reading from the NIV. In other words, do you also want to go? He asked the 12. Did I not say to you earlier that when Jesus checked the numbers, it was really down to 12 plus? 12 plus who were willing to follow him. Despite the cost, despite the journey, despite the rigmaroles of life, it is only a few. And Jesus Christ says, not many, not everyone who said unto me, what? Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father in heaven. Do you also want to go? Simon Peter was smart, and he answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Do you see that? Eternal bread brings eternal life. And this is why, if you eat nothing else in this life, you need to eat bread. You need to eat the bread of life, who is Jesus the Christ. How do I get to eat that bread? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing God's word. God's word is truth, brothers and sisters. Friends, God's word is truth. God's word is ideal because it comes from God. It's God-breathed. And so we have authenticity in the word. Not like in our Bible class this morning, where there are some who are trying just to refute the authenticity of the scripture and the authenticity of Almighty God. God's word is all we need. And in feasting upon God's word, we feast upon Jesus Christ. In feasting upon Jesus Christ, we are feasting upon the bread of life. In feasting upon the bread of life, we are feasting to eternal life. Until Jesus Christ shall return. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Brothers and sisters, accept the invitation. It is better to accept the invitation than to wait on life with its full invasion. Because when that happens, you may not even have time to make wrongs right. You may not even have time to say, Lord, have mercy. Much more to obey him and put him on in baptism. And this is what Christendom is teaching. Just believe the Lord. Just say the sinner's prayer. Just ask God to come into your heart. Let me tell you, if you weren't feasting on the bread, then there's no asking at that time. Because Jesus Christ, through his plan of salvation, doesn't promise that easy route, but the road is not hard at all. It takes some level of obedience and some level of commitment. What will it take for you to follow Jesus? Hear God's word. Believe it. It is his word. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus as Christ. Be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Then there are those who are living a Hezekiah type of life. You know, you live this time good and the next time, you're on the fences. And so Jesus Christ have to now step in. God had to step in and say, hey, Hezekiah, put up yourself, man. Set your house in order. Don't just turn your face now to the wall.
but turn your face to Almighty God. Pray to Him sincerely that He will take you out of the patch that you're in right now. Turn to Him wholeheartedly. Ask Him again to hold your hands and carry you through, because He's a dependable God. And don't just turn your face away. Hezekiah was given 15 years, and even then, he did not know what to do with it. He still made a mess of the 15 years. 15 years to life. How much is it that you have today? Don't wait until the last minute, because you may not get a warning like Hezekiah in order to follow Almighty God. Believe Him today and turn your life over to Him. Start eating, start feasting, start drinking on none other but Source, Jesus the Christ. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. And if you're so subject to God's invitation, then come. Let the church pray for you. Let us study the Word with you so that you can put on Christ as Lord and Savior. Brother Myrie.